Way too many first responders are struggling with their fitness, health, and body goals, but you're not alone in that fight. I'm Ted with Fit Responder, and with 11 years experience in law enforcement, as well as being a fitness coach for over 15 years myself, I've created some free resources as well as one-to-one professional fitness coaching for first responders. So I want you to check us out, fitresponder.com, or look us up on Instagram at fit.responder. That's fit period responder. And let's see you there. Chat soon. Thanks and enjoy the podcast.
Stop beating up your expensive sunglasses on the job. Hey, I'm Mike, founder of Frontline Optics, a sunglasses brand based out of San Diego designed for first responders. While working for the fire department, I was constantly breaking and scratching my expensive designer sunglasses at work. I knew there had to be a better way, and the idea for Frontline Optics was born. So what makes us different? We know these shades are going to get beat up, which is why we offer a no-questions-asked replacement program to cover lost or damaged sunglasses. When the time comes to get yours replaced, all you'll need to do is cover a $12 service fee and we'll ship a brand new pair to your door, no questions asked. Additionally, a portion of all sales is donated to the First Responders Children's Foundation, supporting the loved ones left behind by our brothers and sisters who gave the ultimate sacrifice and service to their communities. All our glasses are polarized and we offer free shipping and returns so you can try them risk-free. Not enough? We have Z87 styles available and they're all at a price of $58 or less. Check us out. frontlineoptics.com or on Instagram at frontlineoptics. Use discount code PMPM15 for 15% off. Now enjoy your podcast brought to you by Frontline Optics, sunglasses design with the frontline in mind.
The Poorly Made Police podcast is for entertainment purposes only. This podcast has explicit content and is meant for a mature audience. The views expressed on this Poorly Made podcast reflect the opinions of the guest and host. They do not reflect the opinion of any department or entity. Nothing on this Poorly Made podcast should be construed as legal or marital advice. If something offends you, I kindly invite you to lighten the fuck up. If you want to support this very poorly made podcast, click the link at the end of the description and become a monthly sponsor of the podcast. Or buy yourself some nice Poorly Made Police Memes merch. And of course, take care of the fine sponsors of this podcast. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the orgasmic sound of a Crown Vic. Oh, hey there. Welcome to another edition of the Very Poorly Made Police Podcast. I have a treat for you. Coming in all the way from New Mexico, I have my good friend Casey. Now, before I let him talk, I want you to know that Casey, the reason we're going with this name is it is in honor of the most underrated pizza in this country, Casey's Gas Station Pizza. God bless America. Casey, how are you?
I am phenomenal. And I just want you to know, I drove 10 hours to Kansas just so I could get a slice of Casey's Pizza, and they didn't have the taco one available, so I had to get a breakfast one.
Shut, you drove 10 hours just for Casey's? That's amazing.
Yeah, it was definitely worth the drive.
You know, I've made my family drive about 4 hours just to go to Brahms. That's equally as bad, but
we have a Brahms about 2 hours away from here, give or take.
Oh, no shit. I didn't realize you'd be that close to one, but I guess maybe Oklahoma? Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. All right. All the fast food talk is going on right now. That's why people listen, is to hear me talk about fucking Casey's and Brahms, which happens way too often. Casey. There is nothing else. Those are the two most important things. So Casey, before we get into everything, we got to start traditionally. Are you having anything to drink tonight?
I am, actually. I pulled my Busch Latte apples out of the closet.
Oh shit. Dude. Yeah. I have a couple left and I haven't had one in a while. And maybe I have a Yingling flight in front of me, but maybe I'll go, I'm not gonna go upstairs and trade it out for an apple, but I want to really hang on to those because those were special, man.
Yeah, they were. I'm remembering how delicious they were.
You know, even like old and stale, they're better than the peach. And the peach wasn't bad, but the apple Busch lattes are way better. You know, it's like, maybe I'll do like the Vince McMahon meme that's going around right now, like people remembering apple
Bush lattes. You just the fucking best.
I haven't had a peach one yet. I'm not a big beer drinker.
Now, one more thing for those playing along at home. This is a that I can remember, except for maybe some wives listening in on podcasts, which reminds me of a story. This may be the first time we have a live studio audience. As it was described to me, if I hear autism in the background, that's Casey's friend who is the live studio audience. So just so you guys know what's going on back there. Okay.
That might have been a little too mean, but good guy.
That might have been a little what?
It might have been a little too mean what I said, but he's a good guy.
You know, I feel like all of us really have a tinge of the tism. Frequently, I am accused. I don't know what we're allowed to joke about or not anymore in this weird world that we live in. But frequently within a certain text group I'm in, I am frequently accused of having the tism because of the things I do. I don't know. I think we all have a touch of the tism. Do we not?
I mean, one could never really know. That's just kind of there. It's safer to bet that we all do.
Yeah, I agree with that. So we've gotten off on kind of a wild track so far. I don't know what the fuck we're actually talking about. But so Casey, he is from Iowa, correct?
I am.
That was a weird way to frame that question, like in third person. But Casey is from Iowa, and you ended up in New Mexico. Do you miss Iowa, or do you like New Mexico better?
Sometimes I have times where I really do miss Iowa, but I haven't been able to go back there in almost 6 years now. So I've kind of just grown accustomed to New Mexico and their way of life now.
New Mexico's kind of an interesting place to me, and I don't have a ton of experience with New Mexico. Interestingly enough, as close as I live to it, like I never went to Santa Fe or Albuquerque, and all everyone knows about New Mexico and all Albuquerque is Breaking Bad. So I just assume a lot of the state feels like Breaking Bad. Is that incorrect?
We do have a lot of meth, but I think the culture here in New Mexico is a unique one. I think actually New Mexico is one of the only states that doesn't even have a hate group in it, which I thought was kind of cool. And then they're super big on green chili. It's like all you ever hear about anywhere you go.
Okay, so my mother-in-law is from New Mexico, and holy shit, there's a lot of green chili talk. Like that is like Nebraska, which was the last podcast, that all they have is the Huskers, and you know that being from Iowa. That's it. That is gross. All they have is the fucking Huskers. New Mexico, that's all they have is green chili. That's it.
Yeah.
What else do you have?
You know, green chilies. That's what I know.
Early front runner for the name of the podcast. I will say there are some cool places in New Mexico. Like people don't realize some of the more mountainous areas are fucking cool. I've heard there's good elk hunting up there. I'm not a big hunter, but I've heard that. And then like I've been to Taos, which is more of a touristy place, but that's a cool little town.
Yeah, I always like driving through New Mexico. I usually make my way across the state to go other places, but yeah, it's pretty everywhere you go.
Yeah, my dad always jokes that he wants to retire to Alamogordo. I don't know why. Maybe because it sounds cool. Kind of rolls maybe off the tongue, doesn't it?
Maybe Alamogordo.
How did you end up in New Mexico from Iowa? That's a long way from home.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't know New Mexico was on the map until I got here. But I moved here with the military a long time ago now. And I was here since then just doing military life.
Okay, I got to ask. I just, there's some word association here. Military, New Mexico, Area 51. Do you know the truth? Or do you know about aliens?
Things I can't tell you.
Fucker! Come on, man. We need to know. I retired the alien question, but you're going to fucking get it. Because you're in New Mexico.
There's no aliens here.
Well, there are, but that's too easy of a joke. So we're just going to nix that one. So, you know what I got to ask? Why law enforcement? How come you chose that as a career?
I was always kind of a nerd about being a cop ever since I was in elementary. Kind of had some good experiences with deputies, which is kind of why I got into being a deputy as well. And as I grew up, it was just people I always admired, and I hung around them more than kids my own age, in all honesty. So I've always just been kind of a goober for the career.
Okay. That is an underrated word, by the way, that we need to use more often, is goober. That is a fantastic way to describe people and is not used nearly enough, right?
I use it regularly.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like frequently goober, and maybe it's used differently, but like goober is kind of an endearing term because like usually like the sentence using a goober is like, yeah, man, he's a real nice guy, but he's kind of a goober. That's how I usually use it. How do you use it?
Usually just to describe myself, in all honesty, I think I'm almost the definition of a goober, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Casey's a real great guy, but he's kind of a goober, you know? So how long have you been on the job in New Mexico?
I've been with my office for just about a year now. And then with the Air Force, I did give or take about 5 years.
So you're new to the game as far as being in like the public sector of law enforcement. Has it been how's the transition been from military police to now being a deputy with civilians?
It's honestly been refreshing. In the military, we didn't really get to do a whole lot. I mean, the military, the base is kind of, it's just like a controlled population. You don't really have the crazies out there. So a lot of what I did on base was just to like your verbal domestics and people who don't know how to have a grown ass conversation with their spouse. And then, transitioning over to the sheriff's office, I've been able to kind of get into narcotics and felony burglaries, pursuits, a whole lot of traffic. I'm a big traffic guy. On base, there's only so much traffic you can really do, but been kind of getting into that. So it's been refreshing to just take a breath and be able to go on shift every morning and just get into whatever I want to get in for the day.
This hasn't come up yet, and I've been trying to kind of move away from, you know, bringing up George Floyd every podcast, but occasionally the patron saint of fentanyl shows up here. I love that. I'll keep using it till the end of time. Which Derek Chauvin's in the news, but we'll have to talk about that sometime later. But what was that time period like as a MP? Did you guys, because like most of the people I've talked to on the podcast that had been MPs, it was like a while back, not like recently, where you were an MP when all that shit was going on.
Right.
Did that affect you guys at all on base?
So right around the time that George Floyd actually occurred, I was deployed at the time. So I didn't really experience any of the backlash in the country until probably 2021 when I got back. It wasn't too bad on base. You had the occasional, you know, they were race baiting because we do like random inspection stuff at the gate. So they'd, you know, start questioning, oh, why did you stop me? I'm like, well, because the commander said I had to. So you're next on the list, but I'm sorry about it. And, you know, they'd start going down that rabbit hole. So, I mean, that was really as bad as it got. I didn't really experience anything else.
I'm sorry, I'm like aspirating. Give me a second. That was nice. Okay.
Familiar sound.
So, oh boy, that was rough. I was like, man, I'm going to die on a podcast. This is going to be embarrassing. So where were you deployed at during that time, if you don't mind me asking?
I was in the Middle East, somewhere around Iraq. That's about all I'll say.
Okay, so somewhere around Iraq, like the folks there weren't like chanting Black Lives Matter and all that stuff in Iraq, or were they?
I was in the middle of the desert. There was nobody, so I have no idea.
What about the goats? Were the goats like really anti-cop?
The goats were very well taken care of.
Okay.
They were very well taken.
Oh wait, hold on a second. This is going to take an unexpected turn here. I was not in the military, but I've heard lots of stories about the goats in the Middle East, right? I think we've all seen the memes and the things about what certain cultures allegedly do to goats, okay? I feel like there's an unlikely correlation between people in Wyoming and what they do to sheep and people in the Middle East and what they do to goats, which I've never put together until this very moment, and it had to be said.
I think you just lost like the three people that listen from Wyoming, but
everybody in Wyoming is going to fuck their sheep and be real angry about it tonight. Actually, in fact, I had a longtime listener of the podcast recently send me some Velcro gloves so I can too fuck a sheep. They are hanging up in my basement just in case little Bo Peep comes down here. So, all right, that was an interesting turn we just took. So based on our messages, kind of going back and forth here, I kind of take you to be kind of an opinionated guy. Is that fair?
That is very fair.
Because, and I'm not saying this is like a diss or anything, but you're relatively new on the job, about a year on now. Well, I mean, obviously excluding military, but you had kind of all this like long list of a lot of like fucked up shit that's going on in New Mexico, which I'm like, damn, man, if he's a year in and he's already seeing this shit, either he's super fucking opinionated or it's just bad, or it's all, it's both, right? So that was what I took out of it. So I, if you don't mind, I'd kind of like to work through some New Mexico things that you're going to enlighten us in.
Absolutely. I did want to bring up, since we were talking about, you know, sheep and goats and stuff, yeah. New Mexico just made it a felony for bestiality. For the longest time, it was not.
What?
Yeah, that just got changed within the last, I think, 6 months.
They just figured out it's super fucked up to bang an animal? What is going on there in New Mexico?
That's what we're going to get into.
Holy shit. Okay. That's kind of like bothering me, because like it was on the books, right? Just not as a felony. It was like a misdemeanor.
Yeah, it was just a misdemeanor, but they just bumped it up to a felony. And I'm not sure. I'd imagine it's probably just a fourth degree felony.
So here's what's more concerning is that in the last few years, it's apparently been an issue enough where they need to bump it up. Like, I was a cop for 8.5 years. I never charged bestiality. Although one of my favorite policing stories does involve bestiality. Do you want to hear about it?
I'm always ears for it.
Okay. Now, the guy that punted the fuck out of this call is an absolute fucking legend. Like, this guy is one of my favorite cops ever. He was a fucking legend. Hilarious, quick-witted, just amazing dude. And there may or may not have been a call that I wasn't on or part of, but it was one of those things where sometimes in law enforcement, if somebody writes really funny CAD notes, though, that incident number gets passed along, people look it up and they share it with their friends, right? It's like, it's kind of, you know, how we share memes. Sometimes we share funny shit that's in the CAD. I don't know if you can do that in your agency or not.
I haven't risked it yet.
Okay. So, by the way, you know what? That's a whole topic. Well, CAD humor is a topic for another day. Maybe we'll get to that. I don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole. I approve generally, but there's a line. This was definitely over the line, but it was worth it. So I guess this guy had kept calling a vet asking something along the lines. I don't remember the details, but like about like how to neuter his girlfriend's dog or whatever. And it turned into like a welfare check where like the vet called the police and was like, this guy's acting weird. Will you go check on him? It turned out that this guy's girlfriend had started fucking the dog, and it became a problem. Well, actually, the dog would be fucking the girlfriend. It became a problem because the dog got the first rights to her, right? Like the dog got her before he got the girl. And so he's like, that's fucked up. So I need to like, maybe he was trying to get the dog put down or something like that. And the notes describing the situation were amazing. Now, should this have probably turned into a bestiality case? Probably. Probably should have. But just how magnificently the guy described the situation and the dog having the first right of refusal, it was amazing. And I think about it every day, how funny it was. Yeah, that's why I became a cop, is to write funny call notes. Like, that's why any of us really become a cop.
Yeah, a couple myself. Made sure I don't even that it was in there.
Maybe it was to get the dog neutered. Maybe that was it. Anyway, I don't even know what we were talking about. Bestiality. Oh, about New Mexico. Like all of a sudden New Mexico is having a big problem with animals getting porked. And they're like, all right, we gotta up this one up.
Yeah. It's they brought it up in briefing and it was pretty hilarious listening to it.
So all right, we've learned many things on this podcast, none of which I had any intention of talking about. New Mexico things. Searches. Is there some goofy shit going on with searches in New Mexico?
New Mexico is, from a certain standpoint, it's very well off in terms of their Fourth Amendment protections. New Mexico is a very, very restrictive state in terms of searches. So a lot of the things that a lot of states around us can do, like Texas or Oklahoma, we are pretty much forbidden from doing here without some kind of support in hand.
Now, can you give an example of that?
The big one I have, we just had a case law come out here in the state for search incident. We can no longer search backpacks and handbags that were on the suspect at the time of the arrest.
That is insane.
Yeah, there was and there's no guidance right now as to what we're supposed to do. So pretty much everyone in the state's just been told, take their backpack off, throw it in the back of your car, and let the jail find it.
Okay. All right. So when it gets into the jail, are the jailers allowed to go through and inventory it?
Yeah, but it's inadmissible at that point. We just throw it away.
So, like, somebody could have a human head in their backpack, and it'd be like, well, that's we can't use that as evidence. Is that basically what we're saying here?
We haven't gotten to the human head part yet, but we've just been having, you know, heroin and meth and all that good stuff coming in.
Was there a catalyst to that change? Like, I feel like most bad case law usually comes from somebody did something really fucking stupid and then the courts just make it even worse.
From what I read, it was case law out of Clovis, New Mexico. I guess a PD officer down there did a normal arrest. I think it was a burglary or something. I don't want to get the facts mixed up, but they just did their standard search. They found user amounts of something in there. And then the courts ended up ruling that it was an unlawful search of the backpack.
Interesting. You know, I'm trying to work through this, you know, because cops used to kind of abuse. Here's always a weird one to me is like the wingspan one where, you know, we get somebody out of a car and then we go search where they were in the car. And I think in some places that's gone away. I apologize, everybody. I'm a little rusty on my case law, so don't fucking kill me on this. But they're out of the car. You know, we arrest them, and then we go back into the car. I guess now that I'm the name of that case law is kind of like on the tip of my tongue. I want to say it's Gantt, but I don't think that's right. All right, fuck it. I have to look it up. Poorly made case law. Hey, do we want to watch a video? Let's watch a video. You ready?
I love
we're going to do some tablet. Learning to explain Gantt so you don't have to listen to me read, everybody. Here we go. This is, I guess I should probably give credit to where I found it. It's on Quimby on YouTube.
Police officer validly arrests a car's driver and secures the driver in the backseat of a patrol car. What can the officer do then? Can the officer proceed to search the driver's entire car without any reason to believe there's evidence of a crime inside? In Arizona versus Gantt, the United States Supreme Court clarified what the Fourth Amendment does and doesn't permit in this situation. Police officers in Tucson, Arizona, learned that Rodney Gantt had an outstanding arrest warrant for driving with a suspended license. Once they tracked him down, the officers arrested Gantt as he was leaving his parked car. They handcuffed Gantt and locked him inside a police car. The officers then searched Gantt's entire car, soon discovering a bag of cocaine inside a jacket left in the back seat. A state prosecutor charged Gantt with possession of cocaine. In a pretrial motion to suppress the cocaine, Gantt contended that the officers violated the Fourth Amendment by searching his car without probable cause to believe that any illegal items were inside the car. The prosecutor countered that the search was constitutional as a search incident to Gantt's lawful arrest. A search incident to arrest is an exception to the Fourth Amendment's warrant requirement, which allows officers to search a suspect's person or the surrounding area during a lawful arrest. The trial court agreed with the prosecutor and denied Gantt's motion. A jury then convicted Gantt, who was sentenced to 3 years in prison. A series of appeals and remands eventually culminated with the Arizona Supreme Court's reversal of Gantt's conviction. The state of Arizona filed a cert petition with the United States Supreme Court.
Okay, so that didn't go into whole reasons, a whole lot of reasons why they reversed it. But the backpack thing to me, maybe they're going for something similar like that. But I think the backpack, if it's especially if it's on somebody when you arrest them, that's, that search incident to arrest all day, in my humble opinion. I'd be, you know, I understand if maybe there's like the backpack isn't with them and maybe away when you contact them. And maybe, I don't know. I think there's arguments to be made either way there, but like specifically on somebody, I think that search incident to arrest all day. I'm kind of surprised that that went away.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm all for the Fourth Amendment. I love it. But what's frustrating about this specific case law really is, New Mexico has kind of went downhill as far as drugs is concerned. We've kind of been with our hands tied behind our backs. We're not really able to go after narcotics like a lot of places used to. And it's really kind of getting frustrating when they take something like this away, where we're constantly finding narcotics on people in their backpacks and their handbags and things like that. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, sorry. You just kind of got to throw it in the back of your car and move on. And New Mexico has really seen a rise in drug overdoses and things like that. And I'm willing to bet we're probably leading the country still in overdoses and things like that.
So it's kind of an interesting thing where the courts and the people, frankly, have told us, when I say us, I speak in a generality of law enforcement. Hey, we don't want you to do anything about drugs. But we also, as a society, have grave concerns and are really worried about all the overdoses and all the drugs flowing into this country. It doesn't quite make sense to me. You know, I think a lot of people are, and I understand there were probably some times in history where like people are getting crazy sentences for like user amounts of drugs. In fact, I think the guy was kind of pulling my chain a little bit earlier today, but I said something on a podcast about like weed, and I don't think people should get locked up for weed. And I stand by that. Like, to me, weed, if it's illegal somewhere, it is what it is. But I don't think we should be locking people up for weed. I think that's insane. Especially in like where we're at and what we know as a people, like that's crazy. Like, let's focus on bigger fish, right? Which I think people maybe look at the harder drugs as like, well, let's focus on bigger fish. But it's like, people are dying from this. I mean, this is truly ruining people's lives. Like, weed and alcohol, like they can ruin your life. The harder stuff will ruin your life. And it's a weird thing I don't understand, like why law enforcement as a whole throughout the whole country is being told through legislation or case law like, hey, don't worry about this, but then we're not doing anything to actively help these people, which I would argue sometimes somebody getting caught can help them down the road. Sometimes for some people, being in the court system can help them, you know. And I'm all for like drug court or whatever, but just not doing anything about it like we're doing is insane.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's, and we're starting to see the effects too. There's been a steady increase in homelessness, and I'm not saying every person that's homeless on the side of the street is doing drugs, but
yes, they are. Sorry, I blurted that out, but
we've seen a steady increase with the narcotics and then the homelessness increasing throughout New Mexico as well. It's really starting to get out of hand here, but it doesn't seem like anyone really wants to do anything about it. And even we can even go off on that topic too. Albuquerque Police Department, they were just told that they can't even tell homeless people to, I guess, move off of certain properties and get out of streets and things like that. They've pretty much told law enforcement in the state to just disengage from homeless populations altogether.
You know, and again, like, people will scream like, it's not a crime to be homeless. Sure. Right. But a lot of shit they're doing is a crime, but you're decriminalizing it, right? Like, people, I don't know, I feel like it makes them sound smart. Like, we need to decriminalize being homeless. It's like, I feel like I'm like a Valley girl today. I've been really leaning into the, it's like, but it's like totally like when the bums are out there, it is just so disgusting. The fuck's wrong with me? But seriously, I don't know. You're making me angry, dude. You keep bringing up things that piss me off. So homelessness, right? Like, I agree with you. Like, there are probably some people out there that are not addicted to drugs, who aren't, you know, booze or whatever it is. I'm telling you, I've never met a homeless person, in my opinion, that did not have a issue with narcotics. I understand that mental illness goes hand in hand with some of those things too. But I would argue a lot of people on the street that are mentally ill, maybe I think, in my opinion, and I'm not a doctor or have official numbers, I'm just saying from my perception, most people, it's like drug-induced mental illness. But there are people out there that are mentally ill, but they end up self-medicating with narcotics or whatever it is. We're, you know, we decriminalize homelessness and we feel good about it. But then we just let people fucking rot on the street instead of actually helping them. Helping them is not, and people will argue like how to actually help them. I understand that's a complex and expensive thing, but just letting them fucking do whatever they want in squalor and live in their own piss and shit and feces and disease and decay is not helping them at all. That is not helpful.
Not at all.
Not one fucking bit. And then, you know, the whole like, oh, they just need homes. The issue is homes. Don't get me wrong. there's some expensive shit, right? And I don't know how it is in New Mexico, but people are priced out of shit. And people, they just need homes and they'll be fine. Not a lot of them. Because I've seen what happens when they get homes and they destroy them. Because they're not well. You can't just give somebody that doesn't know how to function or cannot function because they're addicted to drugs or they're severely mentally ill. You can't just give them a house and tell them, all right, here you go. You're fine now. It doesn't fucking work like that. It's insane.
Unfortunately, I don't know if it's ever going to change.
It's not. It's not. Because nobody has the balls to do anything about it. I mean, I'm not doing anything about it. I'm just bitching about it. But, I mean, let's be honest here. But nobody in a position of power is ever going to do anything to actually... This isn't just about, like, you know, I'm from Colorado, and Denver is a fucking atrocious mess. I was just back there a couple days ago. It's a mess. And it's not about, like, oh, these fucking disgusting people, fuck them, lock them all up. It's about, hey, these people actually need help, and letting them fucking live on the street and use dirty needles together. And I feel like the plague was going through one of the homeless encampments in Denver not too long ago. That's not how we help them. You got enough of our fucking taxpayer money. You got the legal weed, especially in Colorado. Supposed to be spending money on shit. Do something to fucking help these people. I think we should bring back institutions, but that apparently that makes me an asshole. I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of us agree anymore. It really starts to get sad. Just, we get a lot of welfare checks in the county. Just people, they put up a tarp around a bush and they sleep there for weeks on end. And we go out there and talk to them and they're almost not a human being anymore. It's sad to see what's happening to them. But unfortunately, it's just really kind of tied our hands on what we can do. And we don't have the resources around here to really help them in any way.
All right. Let's talk about something happier. Okay. You ready?
Absolutely.
The next thing on your list is piss poor legislature writing laws. What do you got?
I mean, I was maybe a little aggressive with the piss poor. Some of it just doesn't really make sense to me. One they just came out with is aggravated shoplifting. That's a new criminal statute they just added. So if aggravated shoplifting, and I have it pulled up because I'm not a lawyer, aggravated shoplifting is essentially aggravated assault, but you're shoplifting.
So you mean a robbery?
Yeah, essentially.
You mean robbery?
Yeah, but
did you guys decriminalize robberies?
No, we still have robbery as a charge as well, but they added aggravated shoplifting instead if you wanted to go that route. This is just one example of they just kind of added a statute and it doesn't make sense.
Okay, so I'm not looking at that as a crazy person. Like, in most states, what you're describing is a robbery. Is it a misdemeanor, this thing?
No, this one is a third degree felony.
I wonder why there's the difference between that and a robbery. It's like the same thing.
It's they labeled it more as if you're in the act of a theft, but you unlawfully strike at a store employee, then it's considered aggravated shoplifting instead of robbery, but you could charge either one. And that gets really into, it's a mess.
I mean, I think just in the interest of fairness and to play devil's advocate, I think people could make the distinction that, all right, you go into the 7-Eleven. Y'all have 7-Elevens there?
No.
Oh. What do you got? The shell. We're going to go to the shell. You got fucking shells there, right? Everybody's got shells.
No.
What do you got? Yeah. What kind of gas station you got? Fuck.
We got Chevrons and Stripes.
I mean, what the fuck's going on in New Mexico? All right. You go into the Chevron. Right. And you hold it up, you point a gun at the clerk in there and you say, "Give me all your money in green chili." Robbery, right? We all agree, robbery.
Robbery. Yep.
Okay. Maybe they're trying to make the distinction, like, all right, you go in there and you just decide you're going to steal the green chili. The customer tries to stop you and you're like, "Hey, fuck off." And you push them, you shove them into the display of green chili. Maybe that's that. Is that what they're saying? Is like, that would be the aggravated theft. And so, like, they're trying to make a distinction where they're like, yeah, robbery's bad, but maybe, or maybe doing that's bad, but maybe we don't want to label them as a robber. Is that kind of the idea they're getting at?
I'm assuming, yeah, but they're both the same level of charge. They're both a third degree felony. So there's really no distinction. It's just kind of the same thing, worded different.
I mean, I guess if you were going to apply for a job 5 years later, you'd be like, "Hey, look, it was just an ag robbery. It's just an ag shoplift. It's not like I robbed the place."
I mean, in that instance, that would sound pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like a resume builder type law where they're trying to help people. Like, "Hey, look, we're still going to charge you because it's still fucked up. You can't just fucking rob people of their green chili, but at least you didn't pull a gun on them. We're going to call this an ag shoplift."
Yeah. That's their, yeah. It confuses me, but again, I'm not a lawyer.
What's the DUI 13 and under?
Essentially what they did is they created another piece of legislation. So if you're DWI and you have a child in the car with you, 13 years old and under, we can charge child abuse. But then anything, which is in New Mexico, is a third degree felony, but DWI with a child 14 and up is not considered child abuse.
Okay, that's weird. Yeah, so most said,
fuck the teenagers is essentially what they said.
God, that is weird, man. That is weird. I was only cop in Colorado, right? And I've done a little bit of reading on laws in Iowa and stuff, and everything in Colorado just makes more sense to me, probably just because it's what I'm used to. But that seems like that's a weird way for that to be written. If we had DUIs, and this is like not a new thing, if we had a DUI and there were kids in the car, always a fucking child abuse tacked onto that every single time. No questions asked.
Right.
But that's a new thing for you guys, huh?
And well, so we can still do the child abuse for 14 and over, and we still do, but they wrote that law in a way that words it like that. But we just go ahead and use the normal DUI statute, and then we'll do the child abuse instead of, so that this one that I just described is its own statute. And then we just use the two different statutes instead. So we still do child abuse for 14 and over, but they wrote that weird statute in there for some reason.
Basically, what you're telling me is that the government is inefficient.
Listen, I didn't say it.
You kind of said it in so many words. It's a little inefficient. See, that's, I always get mad, right? Because we have these people that are elected to write laws, which it's a thing, right? That's how our government is set up. But it's like, they write laws, but they don't know what we actually already have as laws. Because I've seen this in Colorado too, where there's like two charges that fit and they have very identical things. And you're like, this is the same thing. And it's almost like somebody's like, "Oh my God, we have to do something about this." And they didn't even know it was already against the law. I think... And it may, you call me crazy, right? And I understand, like, now this is gonna like rub some people the wrong way, but I'll tell you, as a cop, I'm actually stopping myself because I was gonna be hypocritical here. As a cop, I'm gonna tell you right now, I didn't know every law. Do you know every law in New Mexico? Every single criminal code? Do you? Okay.
No.
I think people could make an argument like, hey, dude, that's kind of your fucking job. You should know that. I understand that. I did my best. I tried to read through statutes as often as I could, but it didn't always happen. There's some stuff maybe you learned about in the academy and you've never used it. And so you may not remember every part of it. Most times you can look at something and be like, well, that's probably illegal. Let's look this up. But I think citizens could make an argument like, hey, dude, this is your fucking job. You should probably know it. Okay. I'll concede that. I know some people would disagree. Because I was going to drop that on the states. And like, you're an elected official. You're going to make laws. You should probably know what laws we already have. But let's be honest, man. The revised statute books, they're fucking huge. How the fuck are you going to know all that shit? Like, yeah. Criminal and all the other things, right? Like, everything in your state is regulated. And everything is fucking codified. I don't know if that was the right word, but I want to go with it. Everything. There's rules about everything. It's too many rules, if you ask me, which is a whole different tangent.
Yeah, I started reading through that book, and I was learning how much fees sheriffs and judges have to pay before they can take their office. And I'm like, well, this is useless information, but I got it.
The next thing you had on your list of complaints, which I usually ask people for rants. I think this is your rant. We got a page of rants. What's going on with catch and release there? Tell me about that.
One thing that really kind of came to mind, I arrested a dude. Oh, man, that was a few weeks ago now. He had a warrant for failure to appear. No big deal. Hooked him up. Turned into a big deal. Caught several more felony charges after that. Anyway, I'm looking at his, you know, everything going on. And it made me kind of mad because he had a warrant for failure to appear. And then you look at his history within the last 6 months and it's booked on failure to appear six other times in the last 6 months for the same charge. And they keep getting released. And it's just things like that that really drive me up the wall.
Oh, you're so young. Yeah, it's that's the thing I think kind of eats at a whole lot of people. And it ate at me a little bit different circumstances. But you go out there and you do the work. You do what you're supposed to do. Hey, this dude has a warrant. Taking him in. He's fucking out before you're done doing the damn paperwork. Right.
Sounds
about right. So I always, and I'm definitely a classic overthinker, but my thought was always like, okay, so what is the point of me potentially fighting this person or whatever happens, something going south, for it to basically be like, all right, well, here you go. It's stupid. It's super fucking stupid. Like, if the court doesn't care, why do I care? Why am I putting myself out there to arrest this person? And nobody wants to go to jail, even if it's for 5 minutes. Somebody wants to be put in handcuffs. Why am I doing this if nobody cares? Why aren't fucking, not that I agree with this, like as in my personal belief on how things should be done. I'm not saying I'm agreeing with what I'm about to say. Like, I think you don't show up to court, you fucking go sit in jail until you fucking see a judge. That's, to me, that's the way that fucking works. I don't care what the fucking charge is. You don't show up, you fucking wait and see a judge. Because you didn't show up, that's your fucking problem, not anybody else's. But
yep,
that's the way I look at it, right? Maybe I'm an asshole, I don't know. But if we're not going to do that, or we're not going to at least make them post like a reasonable bond, why aren't we just giving people court dates? The technology's got to be there. Be like, hey, dude, you have this warrant. They don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. Here's your new court date. Fucking sign it. Put it in some kind of system, and the bureaucrats can deal with that. And you don't have to waste a bunch of time arresting somebody and wasting your time doing that. And you can be out on patrol.
Yeah, it was kind of a frustrating moment for me. I never really got to see the catch and release thing here. I felt like our jails were pretty good about keeping people where they need to be. But I saw that and kind of sparked anger in me for a little bit, but I'm over it now.
I haven't been on the job in 2.5 years and I'm still fucking pissed about it. It's stupid.
And we'll take a quick break and I'll be right back to the podcast. Oh, hey there. It's me. I wanted to drop in and thank you for the continued support of the podcast. We're starting to creep into the holiday season, or I'm lazy and I haven't recorded another one of these. It is the holiday season. It may or may not be the perfect gift, but consider the gift of Poorly Made Police meme. Go over to ghostpatch.com. In addition to all the awesome stuff they have, they also have all my coins and patches. Also, my Teespring store, I got t-shirts, mugs, water bottles, all kinds of cool shit that may be the right gift. Or fuck everybody and buy yourself something nice. I believe in you. And obviously, don't forget about all the people that promote on my page and on the podcast. They're small law enforcement-owned businesses. Your money is well spent there, and they're not going to these fucking corporations that will put up shit to defund the cops and all that crap. So, again, thank you guys for all the support over the last couple of years. I appreciate it. Back to the podcast.
All right. I don't know if we're going to get to everything on your list, but I'm going to make sure I hit the shit that interests me. By the way, can we talk about the reason you were a little late today? Not that you were late. I was actually late. But the reason you almost were late today, can we not have that conversation because it's probably give you away and probably too fresh?
I'm not sure how many people around here listen to it, but it might give me away a little bit.
All right, we'll play it safe then.
It was funny though.
It sounds fucking hilarious. I'm going to have to ask you about it after. Well, we know I'm going to skip this one because I know why domestics are dropped. You know what? Actually, let's talk about domestics.
Okay.
I'll let you talk first because I want to make sure this is going the right direction. But you put in your notes that domestics are always dropped, which I assume like the charges never go forward, right?
Correct. Yeah. A big thing they taught us in the academy was New Mexico has a pretty, I don't know how every other state is, but New Mexico is somewhere in the range of 93 to 96% of domestics are dropped altogether with no trial or anything like that at all. And I've been seeing it a lot too.
So why do you think that is?
A big part of it really is they just don't want to charge or proceed with the charges if both parties don't want to cooperate, which is obviously kind of hard to do on a domestic to have both people, you know, want to proceed forward. Usually the victim says yes, and then we charge. And then the next day they're screaming down our throats, why did we charge? And it just turns into a big mess and the DA just throws it out before we even move forward with anything.
Does New Mexico have mandatory arrests on domestics?
No, it's not in there. They like us to find the primary aggressor, but they don't want us to arrest both. And if we really can't find anyone, then we just don't arrest anyone on site. And we usually end up just going and writing a warrant and see what the judge says.
So, and again, being from where I was in Colorado, I thought everywhere was the same, which is not. Our Colorado, most any crimes involving couples could be considered a domestic. The domestic violence law talked about, like, I don't know, control, coercion. There's like 7 things. I don't remember them all right now. But if it fit within that, then that was a DV. So obviously, like, an assault would be a DV. Phone harassment, that was a DV. All kinds of stuff. Everything was a DV, and it was all a mandatory arrest if it fell within this category. Where I found a lot of states, if they have a mandatory arrest, it's only on assaults. And in fact, like what's like a damaged property thing, right? Like if you broke your girlfriend's thing in Colorado, probably getting hooked on a DV. Probably. In other states, no. You broke your girlfriend's TV. All right, damaged property, but it's not a DV, whatever you guys have. Now, DVs being dropped. I want to talk about that, and I want to equate it to something else that I think needs to be talked about more, but I'll get there first. It is frustrating as a cop because, you know, you do all this work on a DV, and most of the time they just do not go to trial, right? They don't go to trial. Now, I know a lot of people will say, and I'm not saying it's untrue in circumstances that, and we'll use the stereotype, like the female getting beat up by the dude. The female, you know, she may rely on the guy for, you know, they have kids together. He has the income. She doesn't have anywhere to go. And so if he's arrested, if he's charged, if he's in jail, then it's hard for her to live, right? As far as, you know, that's where, she needs a place to go. She needs food. She needs shelter, all that stuff, like the basic human needs. And so people that are being beat sometimes, even though they are being beat, will choose that over essentially poverty, right? Is an easy way to put it. And I understand that. And I think there are definitely situations like that. I'm not a proponent of the mandatory arrest on domestics, because it assumes all domestics are like that really bad situation I just described, where like we have an actual victim. I'm telling you right now, there are domestics out there where the couples just beat on each other. They just do. And they're probably not going to kill each other. Like, I've arrested the male, and then the next 2 weeks later, I arrest the female because they're pieces of shit and they beat on each other, right? And I think some of those things, especially the more minor things, I mean, like anything, you know, they're going to jail, right? I think sometimes that's a little bit too much when you can maybe separate people, especially if you know people don't want to go to court, right? Some people may disagree with that. That's kind of my take on being on a lot of those. But I think the ability to arrest, and I think the reason they take discretion away from officers on the mandatory arrest. Sorry, I'm kind of going on a rant here, but I think sometimes they do that because they assume cops are dumb. And let's be honest, some of us are dumb, that they don't want that bad one where we really do need to be at arrest, make an arrest, being missed. And so everybody else that may be the dumb one, we got to just arrest everybody so we don't miss the bad one. That's how government works, right? Like, that's how we decide that's how that's going to work. Okay, whatever. So you have a lot of people being arrested and then not being charged. I see that in a lot of different areas, right? I see that you arrest somebody for the shoplift. The store employees don't show up, charges dropped, right? Mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of things that cops go out and they do the legwork, and then people decide we're not going to show up. Okay. Now there's this narrative out there, and sometimes it's into the race thing. But I have a friend. Well, I'm not going to call him a friend. I had a childhood friend who was like a super, not to get political, but like crazy liberal. Like, you can't even talk to him liberal. And he was talking about how police arrest all these people, and like the conviction rate of people is like crazy low. Like, I bet it's true. Like, how many people are arrested versus how many people are convicted? It's probably incredibly low, incredibly low conversion. And they equate it to all this stuff. Like, cops are making up stuff. Cops are racist. Cops are this, they're that. No. You motherfuckers call us. You want to press charges, but then you don't want to go to court. That's why the conviction is low, in my humble opinion. And people, like, I've seen it. How many of your how many arrests do you have that actually go to court? Hardly any of them. Sometimes it's a deal. A lot of times they get fucking dropped. Now, it always sucks when they drop something that's near and dear to you that you worked on. That happens too. that is like basically, you know, a good drug case or whatever it is. Although you guys can't do that because you can't fucking search backpacks. But you have a good case and they dump it. That stuff happens too. But I'm telling you guys, especially if you're not in law enforcement, if you're in law enforcement, you know, but if you're not in law enforcement and you don't understand, like, all these people get arrested and nobody gets convicted. Part of it is shitty DAs, but a big part of it is people don't want to participate. And I get it. Like, we kind of re-victimize victims because we make, and I know this is like probably the best way we can do it, the best system, but you tell me, you've been a victim of a crime. Do you get arrested 6 months later, a year later? Do you want to go spend a day in court, have to testify to that, get fucking cross-examined by some asshole defense attorney that's going to try and make you look like a giant fucking asshole? We just re-victimize these people. So I also understand why people don't want to participate in the process, because they're like, it's going to suck. It ain't going to be worth it for something minor. Sorry, I went totally out of control on that. Feel free to jump in with your thoughts.
No, that was pretty inspirational. It's frustrating on all ends, but I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, I just kind of respect how it is and move forward. It's always, I don't mind writing up the charges and moving forward with courts. And I guess whatever happens after that is up to them. But as long as I go to bed at night knowing I did my job and I did all that I know that I could do, and then it's up to them after that.
And honestly, dude, that is the best way to think about it. I wish I had the intelligence you do, because I get too wrapped up in it. You know, I'm like, well, that fucking sucked. I did all this work for nothing. Where I think the happiest people in law enforcement have your mindset of like, hey, man, I did what I could do. I did it legally and morally and ethically right. And I can only control that part of it. Everything else is completely out of my control. And I wish I had a little more emotional intelligence, but like, you got me beat there for sure.
Intelligent sort of when it comes to work. Other areas I kind of lack, but you know.
Hey, how's your friend with autism doing? Is he doing good? I haven't heard him in a while.
They're yet there.
Jesus Christ. All right. He's doing great. Okay. Let's see here. What do we want to hit? I kind of want to hit it all, but I also want to go to bed. Okay. This is interesting. It's all interesting. Maybe I need to stop going on so many rants. So let's try and hit most of these topics you have here. Local policies have to coincide with state police to a degree. What's that all about?
And I just want the listeners to know, I wrote these down as they came out of my brain. So they're not written the way that I want to express them, but essentially every policy of every sheriff's office, police department, you name it, in the state, their policy has to kind of go off of what state police is kind of the I don't know what you, the bread and butter of policy. And so we kind of have to make our policies go off of that. And I mean, I don't know how accurate that is or not. That's what I was told in the academy, is that whatever the state police comes up with, it's kind of what we have to go off, but then we can kind of make our own changes as we see fit. But normally it's kind of like the bread and the butter of your policy format.
So they want you to be doing the same things as state police, but they give you a little wiggle room, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, a little bit. It's up to the sheriffs and the chiefs what they want to change, but they kind of directed it to be what state police says is how you handle a situation is kind of what we're expected to at least know.
Interesting. I wouldn't advocate this, because I'm kind of a fan of local governments being able to have some control, but I'm kind of surprised they just don't say, all right, here are the policies for all cops in New Mexico. It again, it just seems like we're doing extra steps there. What's in the green chili? What's in the green chili, man?
Oh.
State police accepting CBW candidates. What does that mean?
So this is kind of a two-pronged thing, really, I suppose. I found it kind of interesting. And I don't know how many other states do it, but our state police and New Mexico as a whole, they accept military law enforcement into what's called the certification by waiver program. So if you're a prior military, if you're joining a sheriff's office or a police department or tribal police, anything like that, you can do the certification by waiver program. So what the state says is your military law enforcement training, your military law enforcement training is considered good enough for them to a degree. And then what you do for the certification by waiver is it's 2 weeks in Santa Fe. And you're just going over case law, all your major statutes, mental health, things like that, things that are really important to the state at the time. But they consider all your defensive tactics, firearms, pursuit, driving, all that sort of stuff that the military gave you. They consider that to be adequate for their discipline and things like that. So what I ended up doing is my military training and experience, you have to have at least 4 years of law enforcement experience in the military. So that excludes your basic training and tech school time. But just your active duty law enforcement experience, the state accepts that as prior law enforcement experience, as if you were lateraling to a different state or agency. So we had to do 2 weeks of just legal training, and then use of force training, things like that, instead of the full 3 month academy. And then state police does the same sort of thing, except theirs is 6 weeks. But I believe if you're a cert by waiver, then they have to do 9 weeks. But it's 9 weeks instead of their traditional 21-week academy. So I thought that was kind of cool and unique to New Mexico, which is another reason why I decided to stay here.
That is super interesting, because I feel like a lot of – honestly, I've never heard of such a thing ever. And maybe I could be wrong, but that's never come up in conversation on the podcast. Interesting. I don't know if any other states do that. Do you?
I think New Mexico is one of three or four that accepts military law enforcement training.
Well, there you go. For anybody that is thinking about joining, that might be an easy way to go. Not have to go through a fucking full academy. Like my dumb ass, if I go back. All right, I want to hit a couple more things on here before I get into my dumb shit. Misdemeanor arrest rule. What's that?
This was something else I thought was kind of interesting, and I'm new to the civilian side of charges and things like that. So I was kind of curious as far as how many other states do this, but in New Mexico, we cannot arrest people for misdemeanors that we did not witness, excluding domestic violence, shoplifting, DUI, I think gambling is on there. And then there's the police team concept, which is if another law enforcement officer states, hey, I just witnessed them, I don't know, batter somebody, then that would be considered an arrestable thing, I guess. I don't know, I'm kind of losing my words here, but if it doesn't fall into those seven categories, then we can't arrest. We have to get a warrant first, essentially.
That is interesting. That wasn't the case in Colorado, but I've heard that actually in other states, which kind of surprises me. It's kind of a weird deal. Like, to me, if you have PC, you have PC. But
right,
some states want that extra step, which, yeah, I'm a big fan of, you know, less government intrusion and extra steps and stuff. So I don't know. Without being in that and seeing how that actually works, I'm like, well, I guess it is what it is. Like, I guess it wouldn't be a deal breaker for me, but I don't know.
No, it's really not. I mean, most of the stuff that I've ran into has been felonies anyway, as it is. Misdemeanors are not, I haven't really encountered anything yet, because out in the county, we're getting more your high level stuff as it is. We're not really dealing with the petty stuff. And where I am anyway, I don't.
All right. The next thing you have on your list of things to talk about is your FTO experience. And I see OIS. I feel like there's some good stories about to happen.
This was way back, probably my second month in. Way late at night, back on my beloved midnight shift. I loved it. We were just kind of sitting around doing your normal patrol. Then we just get a car. I don't even know why we were going to stop it again. Decides to take off, crashes like pretty soon afterward. Me and my FTO at the time take off after it. The driver stops, gets out, crashes. And then we kind of hold the car for a little bit. Then once everyone kind of gets in the area, we take off. And I ended up going around in the back alleyway. And after looking for, 20 minutes or so, I kind of just looked in this backyard and I see this guy just crouching down. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And I just dropped something. That ended up turning into a couple more officers came around a corner. And at the time, I was probably 40 yards back in the alleyway from where this guy was sitting down. And I didn't know it at the time. I couldn't see it, but he had it was like a little gun, I guess. And he was pointing it right at me. I didn't know it at the time. I couldn't see it. But then a couple more officers came around the corner. And from what I saw, I guess he kind of pointed it at them. And next thing I know, I'm hearing shots fired. And yeah, I mean, that was kind of a surreal moment for me. I went from I had very little experience really in the military, just doing your basic stuff. And then all of a sudden I'm thrown into this chaos. And it wasn't traumatic or anything. I kind of look back on it now and it was kind of an interesting experience for me, but it was so real at the moment. Just hearing those shots fired and then kind of running back into the alleyway to try to find this guy. It was kind of a live moment for me, and I ended up having a 26-hour day that day. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to talk about it, but it was nothing major to what I've heard on the podcast so far.
Yeah, that's a good way to start FTO, right? Little OIS.
FTO was chaotic.
I think sometimes that's a good thing, though. Get you some good reps, right? Because it'd be horrible if, and obviously I don't wish OIS upon anybody, but if you skate through FTO without like any fucked up calls, and then you're by yourself and you get a fucked up call, holy fuck, right? It's good to have those reps with somebody in a car next to you that can, you know, hopefully teach you and not just evaluate you and help you out.
Yeah, no, it was a good moment for sure. That's still something I kind of hold on to, but it was a good learning experience. And it was honestly one of the most enjoyable nights that I had in FTO. Just kind of seeing how everyone supported us through it. And I mean, I met so many officers that I'd never even seen their faces up until that point. So, I mean, it was a good night all around.
I assume all the officers, all that stuff end up being cleared of the shooting and all that good stuff.
Yeah, everything's good. I think he just got sentenced to the actual suspect in that case, but I don't know any specifics on it.
So he didn't get lead poisoning?
No.
Fair enough.
No point.
All right. I think the last thing I'm going to ask you about on the list of your topics is the Safe Pursuit Act.
Yeah. So New Mexico has kind of turned away from pursuits statewide. However, it's kind of up to the local jurisdiction what they want to do. I know our state police has gone entirely away from it altogether. What the state has suggested is, unless it's a violent felony, they won't pursue. And really, we've even seen it where we've had shots fired calls and things like that, and the suspect leaving the scene, and pursuits are not authorized for whatever reason. But I'll say our sheriff has really, if they run, you better get them. That's essentially what our motto is. So a lot of people will just stay in the city. They can run all day there. But a lot of people know in the county, we will pursue. Of course, it's with the Safe Pursuit Act, it's officer discretion, and the officer is liable for whatever happens. So in New Mexico, again, we also don't have qualified immunity. So it's really, if you pursue someone, you're taking the risk of being responsible for it.
Do you guys have anything? I mean, you have qualified immunity within, like, you know, federal type stuff, obviously, still. But within the state, do you guys have any kind of protections or no?
As long as we're within policy, we're protected to a degree, but we don't have any qualified immunity.
That's worse than what Colorado got. Because Colorado, they said, oh, hey, we're taking away qualified immunity. And then you read down the law, and it basically was like, oh, you gave it right back. This is basically the same thing, a little bit different, but basically the same thing.
Right. That's pretty much how we are. So, I mean, it hasn't been bad. I've always been fair in what I do. So I never really feared about the whole qualified immunity thing being taken away. I used to do ride-alongs around here, and when I spoke to several officers right after qualified immunity got taken away, he said, hey man, as long as you're not out there violating people's rights, you have nothing to worry about. So I knew at that point that I was good to go.
So just out of my own curiosity, because it sounds like a lot of this stuff, even though you're a newer cop, but a lot of these law changes are newer. What's like the morale within law enforcement? Do people like being cops overall in New Mexico, or are people pretty frustrated with everything going on?
I'll say around here we love it. It gets a little difficult at times with kind of the stuff we talked about. Overall here, we're still allowed to be cops and go out there and do the job. Our community loves us. I mean, everywhere I go, any street I turn down, I get waved at by people across the community. And yeah, I think we're still supported pretty well for what we do. So I think we still have a lot of fun down here.
All right. The time has come for my dumb questions. There's some new ones on here, so just be prepared. I don't want to put any pressure on you, but this is, I think, one of the last episode before Christmas. The next episode will be the Christmas Spectacular. But what do you want for Christmas?
Man, I want a new truck.
You want a man?
I'll take either one, truck or a man.
They say that only a man really knows how to treat another man, you know?
That's what I've heard through the grapevine.
A new truck, huh? Like, what kind of truck are you looking at?
Oh, man. I'm really into Rams. That's just what I like. That's what she said, really too.
Being rammed. Yeah, yeah.
But a new truck. Man, I don't know. I'm not very picky. Just whatever I get.
They do say beggars can't be choosers.
Well, I am a beggar.
Yeah. Oh, God. There was this guy that I worked with, and he was not – he'd been kind of beat down. This is even, like, pre, like, George Floyd and everything. But he – and I met him as a day shift guy that was totally burnt out, and I heard – years prior, he was a very proactive cop, and he just kept getting into trouble and was kind of beat down. So he didn't really do a whole lot. But I heard him say on multiple occasions, man, do I hate beggars. And he did write people for what panhandling. He loved writing people for panhandling. And wow. I can always hear his voice saying, man, I hate beggars. On that note, do you like to fish? Can you fish in New Mexico? Is there good fishing in New Mexico?
If you go pretty much anywhere but here, yeah, there's probably good fishing. I used to fish all the time back in Iowa, but I haven't gotten to that in a while.
Well, that's unfortunate. What kind of fish did you like to fish for in Iowa?
I mean, I was pretty much a beginner, but I used to just roll around with a friend, whatever he was going for. We usually went for catfish. Other than that, I would just throw a pole in a pond somewhere and go for some bluegill or bass or something like that. But I wasn't a pro by any means.
And again, this question will always and continue to be a big fuck you to Saul, because he doesn't like fishing because he's not a man. Would you do it all over again? Would you decide if you could go back in time to be a cop, or would you have done something else?
I would absolutely do it again. This job has kind of given me a fulfillment in life. There was a time in the military where I wasn't able to do law enforcement stuff. I kind of got put in a different section for a little bit. That was kind of the roughest time. I wasn't happy doing what I was doing at the time, so I requested to go back to patrol. But at that point, I was already about to get out. So I got out and joined the sheriff's office, and I've just been having the time of my life. I don't think I've had a bad day in almost a year now.
What is the stupidest thing you did as a rookie, which is still right now?
Yeah, I have two.
What is the dumbest thing you did last week? All right, go ahead. What do you got?
We got in a, I think my partner got in a foot pursuit, and this was, I think, my fourth week of FTO. Partner got in a foot pursuit. It was a larceny. Dude ended up taking off out in the middle of the county, in the middle of a field. And I remember driving over the ditch, and I see this guy. He's probably 60 yards out in the middle of a field, full dead sprint, looking back. And the only thought that came into my mind was, man, I need to get out of my car and chase after him. And what does my FTO say? Hey, we need to get out of the car and go after him, testing to see what I would do. I'm sure. So I, of course, park my car and get out. This dude's probably 70 or 80 yards ahead of me already. So I'm running through soft, freshly tilled dirt. I get maybe 20 yards out there, repeatedly saying, stop, sheriff's office. Dude's still running away. I ended up tripping on a big old piece of soil and face planted right into the dirt. At that point, I sadly walked back to my car and found him about an hour later. But I'd say that was probably the dumbest thing I did.
Yeah. That's why God invented patrol cars.
I know that now.
Okay, lesson. So this is... Sorry, man, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Are you good?
So this is a new question. Brand new question. What is the most embarrassing moment of your life? You know that moment where it just randomly pops in your head and it ruins your whole day? Like, that was embarrassing. You got one of those?
Oh, man. Let me think here. I don't know. I kind of shelter up. Most embarrassing moment. Oh, okay. I know. Yeah. Used to vacation a lot in Europe. That's where my family came from. And I think I was probably 14 or 15 at the time. And I'm in a big old European pool that has, I don't know what you call them, like tile flooring. And I have a pizza in my hand, and I'm just walking, and I see these two cute European girls. I'm like, oh, yes. Let me try to impress them somehow as a dumbass 14-year-old kid. So I like tried to run and do some weird move. I ended up slipping and I just ate it. Pizza goes in the pool. Both of them laughed and walked away. And I just kind of walked up and got up and just walked away completely defeated. And that's just kind of ruined my whole day. That is the one that I can remember the most. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but that's kind of a boring one.
No, that's okay. You know, I'm warming this question up. So sometimes the questions, they need asked a few times. You know, it's like a slot machine. You know, it's got to roll over a couple of times. You know, people got to hear it. It's got to get warm. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll have a better one as soon as we get done.
Does the autistic guy, just for shits and giggles, what's the most embarrassing moment of your life?
When I was a first round or very new maintainer, so we have an adjustable wrench. I never heard it get called an all 16th wrench. So what did I do? I grabbed a 3/8 box end wrench. And I think I got chewed out for 30 minutes straight. And instead of working on the aircraft, I was mopping the hangar floor for the rest of the shift because they were just impressed with just where my head was that night. So, yeah.
I don't know what you just said because I've never heard of it called anything besides an adjustable wrench.
Right.
That's their fault, not yours. That's the government's fault. Okay. Dildo story. Have you had a good dildo on duty story yet?
No, can't say I have.
Okay. Don't tell me about what you and your buddy are going to do with the big back dildo in your background later. Don't need to hear about that.
You have a camera in it?
You guys sold that? You got a favorite dead guy call?
No, all of mine have been kind of sad. I don't really have a funny one.
You know, I did have the one guy on the podcast, which was kind of funny, where he was like, "No, dude, like they're sad." And I was like, "Damn it!" But he's kind of—I mean, he's right. It's all sad, but you know, you gotta make the best of it. I hope that someday you have a good dead guy call.
Yeah, I'm trying not to look that far ahead.
What is something you wished they would have told you in the academy, but you learned the hard way out on the street?
Oh, man, there's a lot of stuff. I'd say probably how real things can get very quickly. I've been in a couple different situations, I guess, where one minute we're just kind of bullshitting and then the next thing you know, it's 100 miles an hour. I guess I kind of expected it. But it's just something that I guess the first moment it kind of happened, like with that OIS, it kind of snapped me into reality of like, oh shit, this gets real, real quick. There's something like that, I guess, I suppose.
That's a good way of putting it. It does get real, real quick. You know, you could have a day, and like, I guess in a more overall view, like not to take away from what you're saying, but you could just be having a day where it's like nothing's going on, right? And then all of a sudden, it's complete and utter fucking chaos. That's just it, man. That's just this fucking job. What's the proudest moment of your career?
I'd say probably going back to that pursuit where I decided to run across the field. Like I said, I ended up driving my unit a little bit further down, and then everyone kind of spread out. And I ended up just kind of walking in a random direction, saw the footprints and kind of pieced it together, and I ended up finding my guy. So finding him and getting the fist bumps and things like that so early on, it was really kind of helpful to motivate me more.
All right. So I told you you were not going to escape the alien questions, which I'm not always asking anymore, but we got to ask. New Mexico, known for aliens. Have you had any alien encounters or ghost encounters?
I think I had a ghost encounter. I've never had anything alien related, though.
Except for whatever happened at your base that you won't tell us about. Got it. Classified. Tell us about your classified. Tell us about your ghost encounter.
So my family came from Europe. So I never really got to see my grandpa a whole lot because they still kind of lived over there in Europe. We ended up going over there for, this is kind of going to get sad, but anyway, went over there for his funeral. After the funeral was done and everything like that, we kind of stayed for another week. And I went downstairs into their little basement apartment area where we were staying just to grab a jacket. And I opened the bedroom door. And I don't know if it was the lighting or what I saw, but to this day, I swear I could see my grandpa's face just kind of hovering above the, I guess, like the back bed frame against the back wall. And it freaked me out so bad, I just slammed the door shut and I ran back out upstairs. And I would not sleep down there again for a while. So I guess that's my ghost story. It's kind of depressing, but.
Yeah, that's wild, man. I mean, I believe it. You know, I don't know. I'm a firm believer that we don't know shit about anything. We think we do. We don't know fucking shit. And that's, I don't know. There's too many unexplained things that happen for them not to have some kind of thing happening that we as petty little humans with our bellies full of green chilies don't understand.
I'm probably, honestly, you've mentioned it enough times, I'm probably going to get some green chili enchiladas after this.
Dude, I don't think green chili's that good. It's okay. It's just not that good.
You've never had New Mexico green chili.
I feel like if you go to the gas station, or not the gas station, if you go to the grocery store and you get green chili, it always says it's from New Mexico.
I think I'm actually pretty sure. I think it only grows in New Mexico. I might be wrong. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I'm not a scientist, but.
What is the best patrol car of all time?
Well, did a lot of ride-alongs in my youth, all of which were in the Crown Vic. So it's going to have to go to the Vic.
I like simping for Vicks. It's my favorite.
I've never been able to drive one. Well, I drove one once, but I was just around the block.
Hey, before we got a few more things, obviously, dumb questions. I meant to bring this up earlier. I was thinking about this the other day, this thing that had happened to me. Do you mind if I go on a quick little rant or story?
You do what you need to do.
I don't know how this or what set this memory off. Something happened and it made me remember this thing that happened when I was a cop. And I thought, this is funny, I need to tell it on the podcast. So obviously before I was a cop, I worked in mall security. I've been made fun of enough. Just make fun of me, it's fine. But I did it. And through that career, you know, obviously I made some friends with some of the local cops. And one cop I didn't necessarily, I would say, I became friendly with, but I think he was like the head of the union or something. And the cops would work off duty at this mall. And so I had his contact information because if there was ever an issue or if I needed, you know, extra guys for an event or something, I would call him up and say, hey, I need guys or whatever, right? And, you know, whatever, if people were not getting their checks or whatever, he would call me, right? So that was, you know, years before. So now that I'm a cop in a different city than I worked at a mall, there's a clue for all those trying to dox me. I had a case where that department was looking for, I want to say, I think a stolen car from that city had come down to our city and they were tracking it or something. And I found it. It was unoccupied. And I was reading the call notes and it said, call that city's officer. Here's his phone number to, you know, tell him whatever you got. So I was like, all right. So I put the phone number in and it comes up as like a contact on my phone. And I was like, oh, cool. It's this guy. I haven't talked to him in years. And so I call, I say, hey, it's Lenny with blankety blank PD. I got the car and tell him everything. And I was like, hey, by the way, I'm so-and-so. I used to work at the mall and, you know, how things go. And he's like, you're who? It's like, oh, I don't remember you. I was like, fucking asshole. It was so disappointing. Like I was like, oh, hey, man, like I did it, man. I became a cop and it's, you know, good to talk to you. He's like, oh, yeah, I don't remember you. It was such a letdown, man. It still lets me down.
I can't imagine the pain.
Yeah, it's like the worst pain ever. It's like, you know, you go to the store and they don't have green chili. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why it popped in my head. And I was like, that was so disappointing. It's still disappointing. And that was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Anyway, I hope you guys all pour one out for the homies tonight because that was depressing. All right. You ready for more dumb questions?
Always.
Okay. This is a big one. Have you ever shit your pants?
Not that I can recall, no.
Oh.
Gotten pretty close several times, but no.
Random autistic guy. Have you shit your pants?
Yes. Afghanistan. 3 years ago. Absolutely could not get my gear off in time. When it was after shift and I walked back to my room and I could not get my stuff off in time and I had to throw away those boxers.
I actually I've heard several people talk about shitting their pants in Afghanistan and Iraq and stuff, and it just makes me sad for you guys. Because it's not like a ha-ha funny shit your pants. It's usually like, oh, yeah, the food here is fucking awful. And we just fucking shit and puke all the time. That's how we live.
Yeah. I've come close with food, but that was like my absolute, oh, my God, I can't clean these. Like, they're going in the trash.
All right. This is actually a question I'm going to ask both of you guys, too. It's a very brand new question. And it's for science. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to start with you. And I've already forgot. Oh, Casey. That's the name we went by because of the glorious Casey's Pizza. But by the way, just in defense of Casey's Pizza, there was a joke in the group chat that we need to go to this Axe Murder House in Iowa. You know about the Axe Murder House, don't you? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I grew up right near it.
Did you really?
Yeah. I mean, it was probably another hour or so, but I was
okay.
Right around.
Okay. In the ballpark. So the Axe Murder House is in Iowa, and the joke was like, well, let's go. Because we're always arguing about pizza, like the right toppings on pizza, which I'm like, there's no problem with pineapple. But they're like, all right, let's stay a night at the Axe Murder House, like the group, and we'll each buy a pizza and everybody has to try our pizza. And they said the problem, though, is there's no pizza places in Villisca where the Axe Murder House is. And I said, no, there is. And there's Casey's. And they're like, gas station pizza doesn't count. It's more than gas station pizza. You just don't fucking understand. It's delicious. Leave it alone.
Casey's is, it's a pizza place that has gas.
Thank you.
Like, if you just want pizza, you need gas to drive back and forth, it's right there.
Yeah. Casey's is real pizza. I don't care what anybody says. But on that note, I don't know how we got so far away from my question, but the scientific question I'm going to ask you is, how do you wipe your ass? Because I thought there was merely a couple ways, and the other ways were like really like out there. So I need to know like where you're at, if you're normal or a fucking weirdo.
I've heard of people that stand up and do it, but I just, as soon as I'm done, I just lean forward and wipe. I don't know.
All right. So a leaner. Okay. We got a leaner. We got a normie here. Like me, I'm a leaner too. What about you, autistic guy?
Yeah, so I'm going to get thrown under the bus, but I stand and bow like in some Asian culture and bow deeply, and I wipe up and down. And
what the fuck is wrong with you?
No more evidence.
Why do you not sit down? Why do you stand? That's so fucking weird.
It's been a thing, man. That's how I was, I guess, grown up as, because I just stood up and did it. And I tried a couple of times to lean because, you know, medical issues at various points in my life. And I was like, I need like half the roll for a lean. So, yeah, that's why.
Wait a second. So you're saying that standing, you get more shit per wipe.
I mean, in my book, but, you know.
So there's an efficiency that we need to talk about. Because I always get to like the mark, you know, the old joke, the Chris Pratt thing. You just keep wiping and it's just marker after marker after marker. It just doesn't stop. Well, you're saying you get that deep, like I imagine like Zuma wrestlers, they like kind of bow, you know, before they fight. You get that deep bow. You kind of really get in there and scrub yourself clean with little wipe. Like you're saving the planet with the paper that you're not using.
See, there's that, and then there's complete, I don't care how much toilet paper I need to use, my ass is getting cleaned.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, unless I'm in a hurry, like it's spotless, you know.
Wet wipes, dude. Wet wipes are amazing. I'm telling you,
that's an interesting premise because you can get like the flushable wipes, but dude, I've heard that those still clog the toilet.
I mean, you know, that's why plungers are inexpensive and you have them next to your toilet, you know.
I suppose. But, you know, you really get a clog. Then you got to, you know, get the Drano going and all that stuff. I had a sergeant that just swore by the wipes. And let's be honest. If you have the wipes and you're shitting at somebody else's house, who cares if it clogged the toilet? It's not your problem. It's their problem. I got an old house. You know, I got old pipes.
But you just leave. Yo, bro, I just clogged my toilet.
Yeah. All right. What was that?
You're going to get subpoenaed to come on back to the house. And
yeah. Oh, my God. Speaking of like clogging people's toilets, one of my best friend growing up. In fact, I hope I get to see him sometime soon, actually. He doesn't live in Colorado anymore, but we used to hang out at his house all the time because my house sucked. His house was awesome. His mom was awesome. And not in a weird way. It's not like I wanted to bang his mom. His mom was just like my second mom. She was really cool. And his bathroom had carpet in it, which should be against the law. No bathroom should have carpet in it. And I would just blow that thing up all the time, man. And I would always be flooding his carpet. And I felt bad about it. So that's probably like my most embarrassing moment in my life is like having to like tell my buddy like, hey, bud, I just flooded your carpet bathroom. Sorry about that. You want to go play some GoldenEye?
Is it a light colored carpet or a dark one?
I think it was blue, if I remember. It's like blue shaggy carpet. It was weird.
That's really shitty.
It was really shitty of me. It's not my fault, man. But if I was standing and more efficient with my wiping, then I wouldn't have clogged it with all the paper.
It'd be the stand and lean.
Yeah.
There's no shame in flushing more than once.
Yeah, I think that's true. All right. More. Okay. We're going to go down a rabbit trail here. I when I was young, I cared more, and that's a weird way to put it, but like I was very, I kind of like anxiety about stuff, and I didn't want to be weird. And so I had to just try to do things as normally as possible. Like now I don't give a fuck. Like right now it's like, hey man, I've been wiping for a while. Let's flush this thing. But for some reason in my fucking teenage brain, it seemed like it would be weird to flush multiple times, or somebody would crack a joke about me flushing multiple times. So I didn't, which led to the flooding of the shag carpet. My anxiety flooded the thing about flushing it more than once. You know, I don't know. It's a weird thing. I had like weird tics, like me and you, autism guy, like we're in this together with autism for sure. On that note, I don't know why anybody listens to this, but Casey, do you have any words of wisdom for the millions and billions of listeners out there?
I don't think I don't know. I'm still learning how to do things and getting around. I still like taking everything I can. That's why I like listening to this podcast and hearing what these guys that actually have some experience say. And I kind of take that every day as I can. But I guess I'll just say, just go out there and do the best that you can, do what you can, and just go to sleep at night knowing that you put somebody in jail, whether that goes anywhere or not. You did what you could. So that's my wisdom.
Okay. That is great wisdom, and I don't want to take away from that. But I did have a follow-up question to this poop talk that we've had.
Yes.
Okay, you've mentioned several times that you're European. So I'm assuming like first, second generation you're from Europe, right?
I'm first generation here, yeah.
Okay. I had some people in the community I grew up in that were, I believe, like first or second first generation from like Germany or something. I don't know exactly where you're from, but they, what I heard, and I never went to their house, but there were stories because I grew up in a small town. So the stories spread like wildfire. Wildfire, not wildflower. That was weird. The stories spread like wildfire. Holy fuck, I can't talk. But they would not flush the paper. They would put it into the basket. Y'all don't do that weird shit, right?
What? No. We flush.
Okay. I've heard that's a thing culturally where there are cultures that will not flush the paper, and they will just put the shitty paper into the trash can next to the toilet, which I don't know why that is the most disgusting fucking thing I can think of. Like, yeah. Thinking about it now grosses me out. Like, there was a girl that was about, I think, my age, and there's no, like, she wasn't super attractive anyway, but knowing that she put her toilet paper into a wastebasket next to the toilet and not in the toilet made her super unattractive. It's wrong.
Yeah, Can't imagine you're sitting there next to a basket full of feces. That's just kind of, that throws me off.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to ask about that.
Had to inquire.
I did have to inquire about that. All right. Well, you guys know what to do. If you enjoy podcasts where we ponder shitting our pants and sitting or standing to wipe your ass, then you guys know what to do. Make sure you take care of the fine sponsors of the podcast, because without them, it would not be possible, because they put up with my shit. No pun intended. I do not clog the toilets of the bathrooms of my sponsors, and they do not have carpet in their bathrooms, I hope. And you guys, it's like fucking right on Christmas time. So if you want to order some merch, do it very quick. And you might have to do the rush shipping. But as always, thank you guys for supporting what I do, because I could not continue to do this without you guys supporting sponsors, and without you guys buying shit. So please continue to do that so we can keep this up. With that said, remember, if you buy a house and there is carpet in the bathroom, just do something. I know it's going to be expensive. Linoleum's not that bad. Just do that. It's really for the best. And I love most of you. Bye-bye.